So Shiva, who just came, Mangal?
Maru
Mangal.
Not Dhanu.
So not only auspicious, but sweet. Maru Mangal. So Shiva means auspicious. Once when we were preaching, place outside of Delhi, I think it's called Meerut, either Meerut or Bareilly. And this, like, India is so wonderful, land of sanskar, punya bhumi, dai paran bhumi, dai bhakti lalita nirvinasi hira. Its position is unique. When people say, well, why do all the avatars, incarnations appear in India? Why not in Smolensk? Of course, some great devotees appeared in Smolensk. But Guru Maharaj would say, why do you play football on a football field? Right? Why do you play golf on a golf course? Because it's designed for that. So, spiritual India is designed for Krishna. It's divine. Like sometimes the scientists say, and I like to hear it now. They go like, the earth is really unique. There's nothing else like it. That's true. Maybe not exactly the way they mean it, but it is true. They're always saying, the earth is just, out of a trillion stars, there's just this one earth that sustains this type of life. Consciousness. Agreed. I'll agree with that. Because right? Krishna rajateka kela sarvatam naralyan naravapu tahara swarup gopa vesh venukar navakishor nadabar naralilahoyanarup. This is the right place for Krishna Leela, Krishna's pastimes, Vrindavan, human-like pastimes. So it's all perfect in that way. But so being in that town outside of Delhi, we're preaching. And as we heard from Guru Maharaj, when Saraswati Thakur, the devotees of Gaudiya Math, they're preaching, they go to any town. You always find, with the way we are preaching would take place there, we find out very quickly, who's the most pious man in this town? Everybody knows. Like you're talking about, you can get valuable information from the coconut seller or the fruit, you know, here also in a similar way. But there, you go into the town and say, who's famous in this town for being a devotee, he's pious, he built a temple, he gives, you know. They go, oh, that is, you know, so-and-so Babu. Or immediately you'll know who that is. Then you go there, and we would make our presentation, and in most cases that man would happily, I mean, they were thrilled to for us to be there and then offer their whole place and their servants and to assist and to do programs. And so Saraswati Thakur, Guru Maharaj told, and in similar situations, and they would ask someone, he'd be introduced to the local leader, pious gentleman, and ask him a question like, under whose direction are you, you know, engaged in your spiritual life and practices? And very often the person would say, no intermediary, you know, Ram directly or Krishna directly. Very proudly they say, no, not like that. Krishna direct or Ram direct or Shiva direct or Avadhut direct. (Clears throat) Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Bhakti Bimala Avadhut Maharaj Ki Jai.
I am sitting.
Hare Krishna.
I'm a little
light chair. So, when N. Saraswati Thakur at the time hearing, like, give his pranam, show some respect, but Guru Maharaj said later he would tell his disciples he has no devotion. And what he meant was this point we hear Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. When Devi Parvati, she asked Mahadev Shiva, what's the best type of all the Aradhana types of worship? What's Param, the highest? And he answered, Vishnu Aradhanam Param. The worship of Vishnu is supreme. So we're told she felt a little pain in her heart because Mahadev Shiva is her Lord. He said, but tasmat paratram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. But higher than that is, and the word, what's used is tadiya, and tadiya means to garland the devotee.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Really, tadiya means what is dear to Krishna. That's better. You're not going to deflect, defray.
I would garland my soul.
Hare Krishna. So what is dear to Krishna? So he tells Uddhava, madbhaktya puja abhyadika, the worship of my devotee takes precedence over the worship of myself. So we always begin with the devotee. And also when Gurudev made any place, he always started with the devotee's residential quarters, the servitors, the sevak bhavan, pashtatya bhavan, etc. And then he's doing other things. But what I wanted to say, so in a town like that, I have to go back and forth on rickshaws to, you know, visiting different people to preach, to collect other things. And every time I would go by on this one street, it was kind of the main street you had to go through to get everywhere, there was this one seller who was a Shiva Bhakta. And when he would see me, he'd always go, as I'd go by, he'd go, sheep, 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 sheep. And if I came to the sheep, 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 sheep. So I didn't know if it was like he was performing an exorcism, or he liked seeing me, or somewhere in between, or a little bit of both, or but I did like hearing that sheep, 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 rapid fire, sheep. I think he was taking it that with Vishnu Tilak, and that there was some auspiciousness there. I hope it was that way. Otherwise, other interpretations are also possible. But when we can say, when in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, when Narada approaches Shiva in Shiva Loka, he's offering, when he encounters Shiva, Shiva's busy, engaged in, you know, like Krishna Katha, Ram Katha, he's ecstatically dancing, singing. I used to hear this old tune, he sang many, Brahma Bole Chaturmukhe, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Mahadeva Panche Mukhe, with his five heads, Rama Rama Hare Hare. And Gurudev's mantra that he wrote for the Gangadhar Sadashiva Mandir, he also mentioned that, Pancha, five-headed, he's described as in many instances. anyway, when Narad Muni is glorifying him, he's taken aback and very uncomfortable with when he realizes, comes out of his own trance and realizes he's glorifying me. He's somewhat disturbed by that, and he offers a different conception of himself. And it's very peculiar, and it's very interesting, and formative, instructional, because he's also Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, the best amongst the Vaishnavas. He's also showing the proper attitude of a devotee is to deflect that praise to another. And that's the structure of Brihad Bhagavatamritam. Narada, in the first part particularly, Narada's praising one devotee and accurately and from the heart. It's not flattery or hyperbole, exaggeration, but it's a proper assessment. But that devotee, they're not seeing themselves that way. And so if they're pressed to conceive of proper devotion, they don't think of themselves as an example of that. They have someone else in mind. And that's the way it shall always be. So they're not thinking that they're highly evolved, highly developed in Krishna consciousness. So when Narada is praising Shiva, Shiva starts responding with a contrary image of himself, saying that so many times I've given boons to disciples, and out of affection for my followers, they've brought me in conflict with Krishna, like Banasura and some others. He's saying, I'm fighting with Krishna. This is shameful. He takes it to the extreme when he says, and not only that, he says, once I even asked Krishna for the boon to be greater than him. I'm that type of man. Shameless to the extreme. Others are praying, and then I ask for a boon to be greater than him. Then Sanatana Goswami starts explaining that Krishna has a particular nature also, and we see this come up in different ways, and Krishna Lila and also Mahaprabhu's pastimes. He doesn't like high-level devotees, you know, Maha, Vishnu, Shiva, and others, to be too humble in his presence. Like we'll see, sometimes when great devotees are being very humble, Mahaprabhu will say, you're breaking my heart, please stop. Right? We hear Advaita Acharya as Mahavishnu, and also sometimes told as Sadashiva. He can't tolerate that Mahaprabhu is Nimai Pandit, is treating him like a superior. And the inverse there is too, is Krishna doesn't like to... Shiva is practically his other self. He's his own tattva, Shiva tattva. And we have Vishnu tattva, Jiva tattva, Shiva tattva. Sometimes told to be the sum total of all jivas. So Shiva, knowing that fawning? Is that the word? I think that's the word. It means being very humble in the presence of another. He doesn't want to make Krishna uncomfortable. So rather, this is all being revealed by Sanatana Goswami. So he said, so when he asks that he wants to be some greater than him, well, who or what is greater than Krishna? Back to Mad Bhakta Puja Abhyadika. Krishna says, my devotee. So Sanatana Goswami says, really, what he's saying is, he knows if I say, I just want to, if Shiva says to Krishna, I just want to be the servant of the servant, that'll be too much for Krishna. So what is his way of saying that? I want to be greater than you. That's what I want. Will you give me that? I want to be greater than you are. Who's greater than Krishna? The devotee of Krishna, Mad Bhakta Puja Abhyadika. So this is Shiva's way of saying, I want to be a devotee. And that, Krishna, that can make him happy. That type of dialogue. So when we hear something, say Mahaprabhu's traveling South India, meets a Brahmin, Shiva disguised as a Brahmin, and Parvati as a Brahmin's wife, he's taken prasad there for a few days, whatever, and all it says is, they have conversations that no one can understand.
3 days worth.
Yes, and what the contraction of time and space, what are those 3 days? And we can understand by inference that, you know, numerous volumes can be published on what is the subject matter of those discussions. So, and Narada, he's Narada, he's not easy. So they're going back and forth, and he's not one to be outdone, but Mahadev can outdo. And then, taking it away from himself, he starts praising the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, where the Lord is constantly living. We hear so many wonderful things about them, their qualities, etc. Parvati, listening the whole time. And she notices that while praising the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, that Sri Lakshmi Devi has not been mentioned. So she wants to enter into the conversation. So she starts speaking about the glories of Lakshmi Devi. And it's a very beautiful thing. And we know that really she is also her expansion. Parvati, Shiv, Shakti. So Sanatana Goswami points out interestingly in one purport, we always say when we give Harinam the 10 offenses and the first about Satam Nindam and the second about Sri Vishnur, the different names, different gods, goddesses. But here in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, Sanatana Goswami tells that offense about, we generally say, to take the names of Shiva and other gods to be equal to Krishna, this is an offense. Here he says, if you think that the all auspicious names of Shiva are not equal to the names of Vishnu, that is an offense to the holy name. Just takes it into, you could say, opposite direction, or just so far deep that it... If you think that Shiva's names are not equal, that's an offense. So, and we see with Srila Gurudev, he liked to give names of Shiva, Umadav, Ashutosh, but Ashutosh Krishna, you know, he's taking many names. Ashutosh is the name of Shiva, means Ashutosh. He's quickly pleased, easily pleased, and Gurudev will talk about that. But from a purely Vaishnav point of view, how with a little bit of faith and some, if you can please Mahadev, you'll get so much mercy to proceed on this path. as acknowledged there, Mahadev, Shiva, and Parvati, not only can they give mukti, they can give Krishna bhakti. They can. So Gurudev made this distinction because Guru Maharaj will say, we conceive of Shiva, there's Bhog, Tyag, Bhakta. Bhog Shiv, Tyag Shiv, Bhakta Shiv. Bhog Shiv, Mayanam, what is it? To Bidhi, Prakriti Bidyam, Mayanam to Maheshwaram, Maheshwara. So Maheshwar is the Lord of Maya. Or as Guru Maharaj put it, Master of Maya, Servant of Vishnu. When Guru Maharaj would be traveling in South India, and there are certainly people who have good reason to believe that Shiva is supreme. And there are these, you know, in one place, Ram is supreme, Krishna is supreme, Shiva is supreme, Mahakali is supreme. Where would Mahakali be supreme? Gopal. So the time we're going from Calcutta to Navadweep in the car, what was that driver's name who can't see? The blind guy with the like Coke bottle glasses?
Subhas?
Jayadev.
Jayadev.
Right. So he's driving, can't see to begin with, but he's the driver, and we're in the fog. And they're doing that thing where they're going... And then we're going to have a head-on collision with another car. And I don't know if I can say what I shouted. And then Giri, what was his name? Bhakti Kiran Giri Maharaj was the name. He, I think he said, like, Jai Radhe or something. And... Gurudev said, like, Jai Ma Kali.
Kali can say.
Yes. Like, he used to always tell the story of the man on the bus going from Navadweep to Calcutta. There are no stops. On it, and he's, how do we say this? He's trying to control nature's call, the extreme call of nature. And he's praying to Ma Kali to save him. And the bus, it's going over bumps, and then finally, and Gurudev's telling his story. Then they get closer and closer to Calcutta where there's going to be a stop. And then he goes, but at last, Ma Kali could not save him. So, we know that in the case of Srila Gurudev, he had this, extreme fondness, devotion, connection with Shiva, so much so that his mother and father praying for a son, they prayed to Shiva, and the inspiration came from Shiva that, yes, you'll get a son, but when he's 17, he'll have to take sannyas. So they thought, oh, Shiva sannyas. Gopal, explain to us what Shiva sannyas is.
Yearly happening. 1 year for 15 days, you'll be sannyasi, and after normal again.
Right. Then
15 days follow vegetarian, fruit eating.
Yes.
That's like some.
15 days.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right, you see them in front of the mat sometimes, and they're following a little procession. So she was thinking, Shiva sannyas, no problem. But I remember being with Gurudev in London when all the packing was going on, getting ready to go somewhere. And he said, They didn't know that it would be forever. And he told how he was so happy in his village. He loved everyone. Everyone loved him. And the trees loved him. The insects, the birds, all the animation. And he said, even the rickshaw wallahs. And he loved everyone. And then a preacher from Guru Maharaj's mat came. He said, talking this nonsense. Your mother is nothing. The world is nothing. You'll have to die. Give up everything here. And he said, and that struck like lightning, struck his heart. And he couldn't deny the truth of those things. Most people say, oh, I had such a miserable life. Chatur vidha vajante mam jana sukritin orjana arto jigyasar artarti jnani chabaratarshaba. Krishna's saying why people get involved in Krishna consciousness. So high up on the list is misery. People go, my life is just so miserable. But Gurudev, what is he saying? My life was so happy. He's just saying everything was, he loved it. His life was very happy and he loved the life that he had. He wasn't thinking of changing it. He's a very, you know, unique individual. Look, he used to always woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, but even when he was a little boy, a toddler practically, wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, be in his father's chest, and his father don't want to wake anyone, so his father would teach him mantras. Right, like the Satya Yuga mantra, the Treta Yuga mantra, the Dwapara Yuga mantra, this, that, the other thing. So, anyway, and they brought him that those events led to coming to Chaitanya Saraswati Mata, the lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj. And Gurudev was happy to discover that in Guru Maharaj's background, when he was younger, what is the place called? Jamalpur?
Jamalpur.
That Guru Maharaj would go, where is Buro Raj?
He's Jamalpur.
Yeah. So Guru Maharaj would collect some lotuses from like a kunda on the way and offer to Shiva and pray for some inspiration to really connect with Mahaprabhu's agent. When Guru Maharaj was a boy, first time he heard about Gaur Nitai, someone was telling about Gaur Nitai, Guru Maharaj said, do they have any philosophy? And they go, gee, are you kidding? Like, so they're good singers and they've got philosophy. And they asked Bhangshidas Babaji about his Gaur Nitai deities. Who are they? And he goes, well, one's a sannyasi from the other Vrindavan, and the other one is the leader of a bunch of thieves. But so Gurudev liked that Guru Maharaj worship Shiva in his childhood, and he had that connection. And Guru Maharaj, he put it this way, he said about the prayers of his mother and father, he said, I think Shiva, he sent one of his own men because of Gurudev's mystic power and mystic abilities. And so whenever he was in desperate need of help in Krishna consciousness, and more specifically, meaning the seva of Srila Guru Maharaj, and more specifically, meaning in relation to the health of Srila Guru Maharaj, he would pray to Shiva. And once he was bathing and praying to Mahadev Shivji, you know, that Guru Maharaj's health is so bad, and he's praying to, if you can indicate some medicine for him. And he said, I heard the sound, Kalifas. And at the time, he says he didn't know what Kalifas was. He was praying to Shiva, and for help for Srila Guru Maharaj, and he heard this vibration, sorry, Kalifas. So he went asking, there's some medicine called Kalifas. And they go, yes, there's one homeopathic medicine.
And he said, at first he didn't believe it, so,
all right.
So he asked, he put him out of the tap dripping.
Right.
So he asked him again and again.
Kalifas. 3x.
No, I don't know about the potency and the doses, but he heard that. Then it was verified. And that, and what was the other one? The one that sounds like, oh, the way the Bengali guru did was like, Kritikas. It's like, it looks like Kritikas or something, but he said Kritikas. It's like, K-R-T-E-G-A, it doesn't matter what it is. That's how he would say it. It's heart medicine. So with these medicines, and you'll even if you listen to tapes, you'll hear like Rama Didi, Guru Maharaj is doing Harikata, and you'll Rama Didi will go, false. That's all she would say. She'd be there with a little glass, the shot with the phone, and go, false. And a little saffron, and give it to Guru Maharaj, and he'd drink it, and he had this certain way he would drink it. Then he takes the saffron cloth. Like. So he kept Srila Guru Maharaj alive extra years by getting some mercy from Shiva, appealing to him for help for Srila Guru Maharaj. So when the time came for the Gangadhar Sadashiva Mandir. Oh, why that name? I was going to say. So when Guru Maharaj is preaching in South India, and people, Shiva Supreme, Rama Supreme, Krishna Supreme. As Mahaprabhu used very simple arguments, like with Venkatabhatta, why is Lakshmi Devi want rasa with my Krishna? And then all the ontology Siddhanta comes spilling out from there. So Guru Maharaj would say, why is he Gangadhar? Like Dhar means who's carrying? Gangadhar. He's carrying. When you see the pictures of Shiva, you see the Chandramolim, the moon, that moon, but you also see the Ganga above his head. Because with Maharaj Bhagirathi, it was arranged as the Ganga's gonna come. Ganga's really, we can say, from the lotus feet of Vishnu. And it's coming from the spiritual world, entering the material world. It's going to crash, like a cascading crash. So it goes through Shiva to like soften it and turn into a flow. So he's, but Guru Maharaj would say, why is he taking the foot bath of Vishnu on his head? He's always meditating upon whom? We hear he lives under an 800 mile wide, 800 miles by 800 mile wide banyan tree that's very quiet, and he's meditating there. Guru Maharaj would say, upon whom? And Gangadhar is taking the foot water of Vishnu on his head as worshipable. So we have Bhogshiv, master of Maya, servant of Vishnu, Tyagshiv and Shiva Loka in between, and Bhaktashiv, Sada Shiva. Sada in this sense means pure, the purest. Well, so Gurudev made it a point to call the Shiva Mandir that was established on the bank of Govindakunda there as the Gangadhar Sadashiva Mandir. And he wrote that sloka. What is it? Devadi Devam Ahibhushanam Indukasham Panchananam Pashupatim. What? Paradam Prasannam. Next line, though, there's a Gangadharam something Ashutosham. Oh, Pranatapalaka Ashutosham. Hari Priya Chandramolim. No, his garland, his ahi, ahi bhushana, he's garlanded with ahi snakes, but who are they? Ananta Dev, he wants his association also. The gopis, like the this day, the girls in Navadvip, unmarried girls, they're going to Shiva. Tamil saying, please give me one husband like you. Oh, like Ashutosh Krishna, Ummadav. His name I asked specifically about because after his initiation, they're coming out telling something and I can't understand exactly what's being said. So I went just directly to Guru. He's lying. I said, what name did you give? He said, Ummadav. I said, oh, like Uma Dava. Just like Krishna's name is Madhava. Ma Dava. The husband of Ma, Lakshmi Devi, Shri. You know. So here, Uma Dava, the husband of Uma. And there's other, yeah.
Devabandhu told me once, Gurudev said, you know, Devabandhu, Krishna, the friend of the Devabandhu.
Right. Yes. Yes, because that's important, as we told before, that in Srimad Bhagavatam, you can say the culmination where Madhura Rasa is being presented in the 10th canto. So this astonishing revelation to all the exalted sages assembled from who've come from all over the universe, and they're somewhat shocked by hearing the divine pastimes of Krishna with Radharani and Braja Gopis, and Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadev. They can detect some apprehension, the minds, hearts of these even great sages. So, Parikshit Maharaj says, well, you told us in the beginning, this, you know, dharma prochita kaitavo and jugupsitam dharma krite nishashana, that religion, as we understand it, is being condemned. And now, we've gone to the highest point. You're saying what is normally thought to be condemnable, that's the real religion. That's quite a difference. We start off with religion is condemned, dharma prajita kaita bhotra, paramo nirmat saranam sitam. And now, what appears to be condemnable, you're saying that's Sanatan Dharma, that's the highest religion. That's, you know, pramanamamalam, Srimad Bhagavatam pramanamamalam. That's the spotless Puranic evidence of the indication of the highest conception of divinity. How are we to understand that? And Sukadev says different things, one of which is, what is he saying? Naitat samachare jatu manasapi pyanis manasa. It's easy to remember because of you. Manasapi pyanishwara. Saying, what you just heard here, don't even think about it. In other words, we say, well, wait, you just told us about it. Yeah, so not with your mind. This is not accessible to the mind, the intellect. Don't even think about thinking about it. You're ill-equipped. Right? The mind has to be dissolved, the mundane mind, bhumirupo analo vayu kamano buddhirevacha, that type, that has to be dissolved. And the real substantial thing has to come out. Vikriditam brajabhadu viritam javishnu shraddhan vato. It's a matter of shraddha. Anushrinayad atavarnayedya. What you'll hear from a proper Vaishnava, the way they will give you exposure to this. And back to Gurudev's homeopathy, as he once told. Because some people say, well, wait, here, we're saying this is the medicine that cures the lust in the heart. And now you're saying you got to cure the lust in the heart to take the medicine. What's the deal? And he's saying, yeah, it's the medicine, but like the homeopathic medicine. First, you identify this is the medicine. Then, what is the potency and the dosage? Medicine, potency, dosage. And Gurudev added another thing, saying, and your time for healing must have come. So, and then what is the example he gives? He says, when the devas and the asuras were churning the... when Kurma avatar is in the ocean of milk, the Mandara hill, and the divine serpent, and they're churning the ocean, and Lakshmi Devi is being produced, and the moon was being produced, so many nectarine things. But there's also impurities. Just like when you make the ghee, or the, there are impurities. So the impure, that's things we're separating into the nectarine and the impure, there is all this poison. And they didn't know what to do. An ocean of poison generated. So Vishnu suggested Mahadev. He's the one. So, and we see that he comes and he drinks an ocean. It says, Yata Rudro, Rudra, Abdi, means ocean, Bisham. He drinks an ocean of poison. And what's the end result? Nilkanta. His throat becomes blue. Like once, when we know about Mohini Murti and the Bhagavatam, that once she was wanting to see, what is that Vishnu Maya? So Vishnu takes this feminine form, Mohini Murti, and Mahadev is bewildered. By that, so, and there, that's another pastime, but what I wanted to say was, once our Siddhanti Maharaj, this came up once in Gurudev's presence, and Siddhanti Maharaj said, this was unique. He said, well, didn't he just drink the ocean of poison? And Gurudev said, oh, so in other words, like he was like, you know, intoxicated and out of his mind at that time. We'd never heard these two things connected before, is what I mean to say. It shows he's, I mean, that. He's going to find an adjustment where Mahadev's going to come out on top somehow. So anyway, so that point is made. And why did you say that? Oh, for Devabandhu. Yeah, so anyway, so this point is here that Shiva can digest these things. Right. So his Gopeshwar, the Rukhak, or the guard of the Rasalila, saying, who will enter, preventing the unqualified from entering? And what is it? The general gist?
Like, glory to you, gatekeeper of Vrindavan.
Oh.
Whose, you know, forehead decorated by the moon, worshipped by Sanaksananda, Narayan. O Gopeshwar, desiring that you bestow upon me that frame of the lotus feet of Sri Radha Madhava, my gatekeeper of Vrindavan.
Yes. And what we can say in hearing all these things is this is Gurudev's property. As Trivikramar is like to say, when he said to Gurudev once, like, doing Varanda Seva as his guard, you know, and I'm like, you know, Vaishnava Thakur, Tomara Kukur, you know, I'm your dog. And he said, Gurudev turned and said, that is Bhaktivinod's property. And that's, so hearing these things, this I'm going to say, this is the property of, you know, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj. Keep it as such, honor it, revere it, worship it as his. Like when we hear Gaur Gadadhar, Gurudev will say, that is the private channel of bhajan of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So that he expresses these things, we will, you know, worship that, revere that, and appreciate that, and not imitate.
Maharaj, what's our
ideal with how we can properly address Lord Shiva without crossing lines in our devotional line?
Well,
Gurudev wrote that wonderful sloka, so that's good. You see, in other words, we stay focused on what has been given to us. To our group, our adhikar, our level. That is our focus. You know, we're not, we'll be ill-served to deviate from that.
Would be appropriate sometimes for us to offer a prayers to Lord Shiva and on which conditions that would be proper?
Now, what do you see in the Prapanna Jivanamritam? Right? Those are the prayers that Guru Maharaj has selected as being appropriate for someone who's aspiring in the line of surrender. Right? So we see what we're discussing, the famous Aradhanam Sarvesham, these kind of things. We're not to go for something else.
So that means that we have to have like respectable distance from other concept and be more loyal to what
is being. Yeah, because look, what you see in Brihad Bhagavatamritam is gradation. So if we have some chaotic or unsystematic approach to things, that won't be helpful. Right? As Guru Maharaj mentioned, not in this connection, but with regard to like Sahajism and other things, he's saying, those who cannot distinguish, we're having difficulty distinguishing between the mind and intellect, and we're going to approach these higher things. Right? So where is the location? That's why we have Brihad Bhagavatamritam. If someone wants to understand properly, then they'll be best served by reading there and see the gradation, what comes before it and what comes after it. Then you can find proper placement. But again, what is the necessity? Is it curiosity? Pariprajna is not curiosity, it's service necessity.
The Maharaj in Vrindavan.
Yeah.
We heard that there are different temples of Shiva, like Bhuleshwar, Chakaleshwar,
Gopeshwar,
Gopeshwar,
yes.
Bhuteshwar Mahadev. Bhuteshwar is one Shiva, Mathura.
Yes.
So there are like, I guess, five major Shiva representations in different parts of Vrindavan.
Right, but what I'm saying is, read Chaitanya Charitamritam and see what is the emphasis there. that will always be the key. We'll find many things in many places, but look here, those who are fully aware of all these things, what did they select for our edification, and with what sort of emphasis? So when in doubt, the Chaitanya Charitamritam reigns supreme. And you'll see to what degree these things are mentioned there, and to what degree they're not, to what degree they're emphasized, and to what degree they're not emphasized. We have to understand that is the perfect selection. Then we have, you know, who's doing the selecting? In the case, Srila Guru Maharaj, Prapanna Jivanamritam. Devotees want to hear what are proper prayers. There's a whole book that's, you know, beginning, middle, and end, proper prayers for devotees. Read that and something will resonate there. Otherwise, it's infinite. You know, to take it away from this for a minute, I was once in the Ukraine. What is that town we used to go to? Donetsk, is that the name? Sometimes. So one lady was there, she got initiated at the time, asked what should be her like morning practices. And I said, well, what are you doing right now? And she said, the Narayan Kavach, you know, which is like from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I was saying, well, why are you doing that? And she said, well, if you read it, it says, one who does this, how auspicious it is, and all these things. And that's true. But and it's written by Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj, but in his lifetime, one of his disciples started doing that, the Narayan Kavacha, you know, because of what he could understand was being said there on the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada wrote him a letter saying, I don't understand why you're doing this. He goes, well, I read in your purport, one who does, you know, all the endorsements. He's saying, I haven't asked you to do this. I haven't selected this for you. I haven't, of course, in a commentary, we're saying this is a wonderful thing in a particular context, but I didn't ask you to do this, and neither have I given it to you as a means of sadhana. So we can look through all of these scriptures ourselves and decide, oh, I like this part, and I don't like that part so much. This is appealing to me, that not. But what is our criteria for selection? Or we turn to the Acharya and our Guru Varga, and we say, they've selected this. So that's why I ended this talk by saying, this is the property of Srila Gurudev. He did not emphasize this as a means of sadhana or for his disciples. It's some special appreciation for him that he even said, you know, Guru Maharaj is tolerating. He also said that because he is unique and extraordinary. So what I'm saying is those have the capacity to extract. What are they selecting for our edification? We'll give our attention there.
Well, basically, if I understood right, to conclude, we will have so many auspicious indications from scriptures which our mind will propose in front of us, but do we have to follow the mind or...
Yeah, and the first line in the definition of an acharya is achinoti yashastartam, shastra artha, one who extracts the meaning of the scripture. There's 18,000 slokas in the Bhagavatam. Many things are described there. Many things that are bewildering are described there also. Many things that a neophyte might choose to emphasize as being significant that someone of you know, actual capacity would not emphasize. Or even someone very qualified would fail to appreciate. as when Guru Maharaj met with the South Indian pundit who knew all 18,000 slokas, and he said, who do you think, in your opinion, are the highest devotees? And he said, the Kumaras. So someone who knew all 18,000 slokas of the Bhagavatam, his opinion was the Kumaras are the highest devotees. That's the highest level of devotion that is highlighted there. And he knows the entire book. That's his qualification. And Guru Maharaj's answer, they're in the lowest position. Who are the highest devotees? The Braja Gopis. And then with two slokas, he proves it. Natata priyatama atma yonir, and what does it say? Atma yonir na shankara na cha sankarshana shi naivatma chayatabhavan. What are you saying? Not atmabhu brahma, nor sankarshan shiva, nor, you know, shankara shiva sankarshan, by extension, you know, even Baladev, Lakshmi, Shri, naivatma, I'm not as dear to myself as you are. Back to the original theme, mud bhakta puja abhyadika. So in one place we're saying Vaishnavanam yata shambhu, and another place, Guru Maharaj, on this very point, Guru Maharaj, it's one of the points that he directed me to read, Riyad Bhagavatam, Bhagavatamritam, saying, where will his position be found in there? In this context, above Brahma, below Prahlad. That's why Sanatana Goswami is a Sambandhagyana Charja. He's delineating step by step what is the gradation. So anyway, with those two slogans, the one first endorsing that the position of Uddhava amongst all the devotees, and then that Uddhava says, Asam aho charanarenu jasham hungsham brindavane kimapaguma. Kim api guma latosadinam. He wants to be a creeper, a blade of grass, an atomic presence in the soil of Vrindavan, so that the dust from the lotus feet of Radharani and the Braja Gopis will come upon his head, like Naisham atisthavara rukramangring. Being, you know, what is it? The other line, Niskinchananam, no, Rahuganaitat. About Abhishek being bathed in the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee. Anyway, from Maharaj Rahugana and also in the prayers of Prahlad, the same thing, but here expressed in its highest position by Uddhava. Brahma has a very similar position after the Brahma Vimohan Lila. Where is it? Pardon me? No, where it says, Tadburi bhagyam iha janma kim apyatabham yad gokulepi karamangri vijobhishekam. He's saying, I want to, it's very similar to Uddhava's sloka. He says, I want to, you know, to be anything, a creeper, a blade in Vrindavan, so that the dust from the lotus feet of the bridge vasis will consecrate my existence. So on the surface, you say, well, why is the Uddhava sloka given so much importance? And here's Brahma, it's a great sloka, and also, but not of the same stature, because he says Vrindavan and the Brij Vasis, whereas Uddhava is saying the Braja Gopis, Radharani and the Braja Gopis. Getting more specific, he wants some he's delineating further in a more refined way what is the highest thing. So it's always about, you know, what are we told? Perfect, more perfect, most perfect. So Guru Maharaj will conclude by saying, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam is the greatest literature to have ever seen the light of day in all time, in all space, in all circumstances, in all creations. That's quite an endorsement. It's the book. Everything is regulated from here. As connotation increases, denotation decreases. The highest connotation of all of these things is found in the Chaitanya Charitamritam. So if we view everything through the lens of Chaitanya Charitamritam, we'll see everything in its perfect position. Hare Krishna.